For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I saw the multiple tight end injuries this weekend, and I know it'd be easy to just be like, okay, Wiley's got one catch. The fourth string tight end's got no catches. Does Jody Ford's right? He had like three catches. Does this matter? It does. It actually does. Not for the reasons you would typically think, but the Chiefs use four tight ends. After all the wide receivers went down, they reinvented themselves into a successful, effective run team. And they did that based on the fact that they could use their tight ends in big sets to block. Kareem Hunt is currently second in the NFL in rushing efficiency, which is, I'm sure, shocking to a number of people in the NFL. And of course, this is why I hate fantasy football. All the names in the top 10 are like Rico Dowdle and Kareem Hunt, people you like would have drafted under other people, but they are an effective run team and they use their tight ends. I do think for at least one game, this concerns me offensively until they can once again reinvent themselves again.
They'll have to get acclimated, but I will say, you know, I don't think suddenly they just are no longer able to use multiple tight end sets. Could it impact them tonight? I guess, but they already activated Peyton Hendershot, who's been with this team multiple times throughout this season. They went out and signed like Anthony Firkser, who's still in the league apparently, to be on the practice squad.
Who remember was, that he name? Was with the Nick, Chiefs. Nick and I had a bet on Anthony Firkser one on
he was with
show.
The Titans for a couple years, mm-hmm. but he was also on the Chiefs in like 2017 or 2016. I think he was a training camp guy or something. Anyway, he's back with the team on the practice squad. My point is, as they get over the next week or two, I'm guessing Peyton Hendershot can fulfill some of the same blocking duties. That's what we're talking about here. Is can you have someone that can block as well as Jared Wiley was? Because the last two games heading in, Wiley had 27 offensive snaps, no targets, no yards. Jody Fortson had 29 offensive snaps, two targets, no yards. They need Peyton Hendershot to just be a strong blocking tight end. They did not lose a receiving threat. There was no receiving threat of that bunch. Maybe Jared Wiley can be that at some point in his career. It sucks in his rookie year. He tore out his ACL. I feel terrible for him.
Yes.
But from a receiving end, they didn't lose that. So if they believe Peyton Hendershot or Anthony Firkser can end up being good enough blocking tight ends, that's what this is. That's where this is not an impact. Now, if Hendershot's not successful at blocking, I that'll be a problem. He's also a special teams contributor. Wiley was, and so is Pendershot. So
I just think that like Pendershot was below those guys for a reason, right? They could have chosen Pendershot instead of Jody Fortson, instead of Wiley. They chose the players they chose to be in those spots.
I'm laughing because I got you screwed up now, too. I called him Hendershot. I called him Pendershot. Now you're calling him Pendershot. Peyton Hendershot. That's my fault. I got you saying it now.
The point is, yeah, is that when you look at where their tight ends are, it actually is fundamentally how they operate as a team. Look, I don't, because I got asked earlier on Twitch, someone had said, hey, do you think the Kareem Hunt's body can keep holding on to this? You guys worried about like the wear
Pacheco's
and tear?
Coming back soon, thing? It's like,
and that was kind of my response. What I need out of Kareem Hunt is to stay on his 2 feet long enough for Pacheco to come back, and then they can be each other's safety net from a reps perspective. You don't give too much Pacheco coming back from the injury, and you don't give too much to Hunt, who had not gotten a training camp, played much this season, all the things that come with it. They need the rushing attack. Tonight is big, too, because the Bucs stink against the run.
Yeah,
they're not
I was
good
surprised
against the run.
To see, just on a yards per carry basis, they're tied with the Giants for the worst defense in football against the run yards per carry. The Giants defense as a whole has been good. The Bucs defense as a whole, not bad. Overall yardage against the run, they're middle of the pack. But yards per carry,
which is all that matters, in my opinion.
They're not good. And then to couple with the stat you referenced in success rate, not yardage, but success rate out of all running backs this year with a minimum of, I don't know, X amount of carries, Kareem Hunt is the second best running back in football, and they got him off the street. So like tonight, in terms of how do we see this game going and all that, like I think that's an area, once again, the Chiefs lean heavily on. I think Kareem Hunt's getting 22-plus carries tonight against Tampa. It should be an area that they have success. The weather also seems like it's going to trend into that kind of game. I know usually it's more about the wind than it is the rain or the wet conditions in terms of is it going to impact passing the ball, but you got to keep an eye on that tonight, I think, out at Arrowhead, given the weather forecast for earlier pregame and I'm sure what will impact the first quarter more than it will the rest of the game. I just think from the Chiefs offensive perspective, yeah, running the ball should be once again a huge point of this offense. And then on the Bucs end, we all know the injuries for them. I mean, much different matchup going in. This was building up to be a huge Monday Night Football game. Chiefs are now 9.5-point favorites. There's no Chris Godwin. There's no Mike Evans. I don't think this is going to be nearly the kind of football game and tough of a matchup as it could have been 3.5 weeks ago.
I might be wrong. It's just like when I look at this team, and maybe I'm just every once in a while, about once a month, I don't go like full Bob, but I become overly confident in what they are. Like tonight, it just feels like I'm like, all right, Kareem Hunt's going to have a couple touchdowns. Trent McDuffie's going to get his first interception, and they're just going to win 30-10. They do not do that, but one time every year, singular. I mean, that's it. It's one time a year for the Chiefs. They don't go through a run like the Lions are going through right now, where they've just been kicking the teeth into teams, or like the Bills have done maybe to three teams this year. The Ravens have done to 2 to 3 teams already this year. They have more losses in Kansas City, but have just run away on a team a couple of times this year. One time a year, they just beat up a team. And it just feels like most of the time when you get these teams like the Bucs, who have been scratching and surviving despite all of the water that they have taken on, eventually they're just going to fall flat. And while Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes are probably responsible for one of the single most entertaining college football games of all time, and Baker Mayfield has certainly made the most out of being without some of these weapons for the Bucs, I just feel like it's going to turn midnight. They can bounce back next week and all these things come into play. But to be a team that doesn't stop the run well and Kansas City runs the ball well, to a team that relies on the run, especially now that those wide receivers are hurt against the number one run defense, this feels like a favorable matchup for Kansas City, more so than even last week's matchup in some ways.
The Chiefs, though, other than the Bears game last year, the last time the Chiefs just like completely blew out an opponent was the Bears game. And so maybe you think they're due, but that's just typically not what they've done. But at the same time, last Tuesday or Wednesday on the show, we went through the last four games for Kansas City, and they've won by a touchdown or more in all those. But they also only have one where it was or two that were double digits. And so if you're thinking you want to add it to the Niners game, they won 28-18. And then, of course, the Saints game.
And the Raiders was really close.
I do think tonight could be a lot like that Saints game on the Monday night when it was 26-13. It was the night of the divisional round game where the Royals game was going on. We were trying to watch two games at once. Yeah, not a stressful Chiefs game. Maybe it was not stressful for the Chiefs because we were all stressing out the Royals. I don't know. Maybe that's why it seemed less stressful. But they were a Juju Smith-Schuster tip pass in the end zone away from really extending that lead and having that be the first real blowout the Chiefs have had in a calendar year. Tonight we'll give our official game predictions in the 1 o'clock hour. But I think you guys can kind of tell where it sounds like you're trending as well for this one. I don't think the Chiefs will end up covering the 9.5. I just think it's very difficult to cover. We've won by 10 in the NFL. Yeah, it's they've done it twice this year, but it's just really tough to do that. It's typically one of those where the Chiefs also kind of pack it in later in the game if they feel good about their defense and that the Bucs aren't able to do anything. We'll know very early on in the game whether or not the Bucs are capable of hanging around, and even in that first drive, because typically that's when teams do have success against the Chiefs' defense is the first drive of the game. If they can't even do that tonight against the defense, then good luck.
We did this for game one, so I'm curious for game two. What is your stat line prediction for DeAndre Hopkins tonight?
Okay.
We did that for week one. You ended up being, yours just like slowly increased day by day because we got closer to the game. You're like, you know what? And I think we were all, let's just ballpark it, in the 4 for 50 range. And I thought he was going to have a touchdown. He didn't have that. He's about half of that on the yardage total. What is our official predictions for DeAndre Hopkins in game two as a starter? Because that's the biggest swing for what is the offense going forward is just how good is DeAndre Hopkins. Obviously, he's a professional wide receiver. He's going to handle the job. But to what level is he? I'm in that same range, like 4 for 60. I think he's going to play 65% of the snaps. I do think they'll try to find him in the red zone again this week. I don't know if they'll find a touchdown, but for the same reason that I just told you, I think that they might just run away with it. I think it's like a 2-3 touchdown night maybe for Mahomes too, if it's not Kareem who's getting 2 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, he had 2 catches for, 20-something yards last time.
29, I think is what it was.
But they were key catches to move the sticks. You would think the snap count is, of course, up another week plus in the system.
It has to be. Yeah.
Getting to know that. Going up against a Bucs team that, I wonder if where their focus will be, if they're going to try to key in on the run more, or will they just focus perhaps more in on shutting down Travis Kelce in this game because Kelce started to get going the last 2 weeks. Yeah, as far as stat line, I mean, I think he ends up with five or six targets in this game. So let's call it five catches for 70 yards or so.
You think
that's where I'm at?
You think it's touchdown?
That's such a fickle stat.
Would you bet an anytime touchdown for DeAndre Hopkins?
Not with the value that it's at, okay. No.
That was a better way to ask that question.
Yeah, I mean, not with the value. I mean, I can pull it up. Anytime touchdowns tonight, you know, who would you rather bet on to get touchdowns based off of some of the numbers that are out on the board?
Kareem's probably favorite, isn't he?
Over at FanDuel,
he's minus 200.
Touchdown score really. Props. Kareem Hunt minus 180, Kelsey plus 115, Hop 180. I'd almost rather bet Xavier Worthy at plus 220 instead of Hopkins. I could see Worthy on a jet sweep or something tonight gets a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Worthy's got five touchdowns on the year.
He's found
like
the end. Yeah, he's found the end zone. I mean, if you want to go way further down the board and you just think, hey, it's going to be one
Justin
of those.
Justin Watson revenge.
Well, I don't know about revenge, but 6-1.
He's a buck.
Yeah.
What about Noah Gray?
This is what's crazy. FanDuel still has Jody Fortson on the board. Please don't bet on Jody. No, look, it'll get voided because he doesn't play. He is on the IR, and you can still bet Fortson 17-1. Something tells me. Can they give me a two-way market on that? No, I'm going to bet no that
it's
he does not
go. He's going to flip the thing off of the wheelchair, and this was
it
all
has both.
A big...
They have Jody Fortson and Jared Wiley still on the board to get a touchdown. They both are out for the season. I want to update that. That's the problem. Like, this is the live market. Now, if... This is why I wish they offered like two-way markets, but again, the player has to
actually... I bet the no pretty fast there.
The player has to actually...
I think that one would also get voided.
The player actually has to play in the game, you know, in order for it to even be an eligible bet, but interesting.
I mean, that makes sense. Someone said, bet the anytime touchdown for D-Hop.
You know? Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not saying you can't get a touchdown, just at plus 180. Oh, first touchdown? 10-1. That's more intriguing. Got enough juice for
the same problem with the Chiefs, though. I hate betting Chiefs first touchdowns because
they kick off.
They're letting up a touchdown on like 80% of opening drives, and they kick the ball to the other team like every time they get to win the coin flip.
And they keep winning the coin toss, too. It's happening again.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.